AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, both written and executed in the inferior English language. We are your podcast hosts, doomed to this imperfect structured form of communication, Taylor and Chelsea, here today talking about something that Chelsea really wants to tell you guys about, I assume, because it's her episode.
It's okay. And also, it's all we know is the inferior language so far.
I mean, every episode would be better in German from how we understand the system to work.
It obviously would be much better in German, but here we are not being able to speak the beautiful German language. Though, English is of Germanic root or something like that.
Yeah, there's two roots. There's the Germanic root and the Latin root. And there's actually a movement from some intellectuals who want to take the Latin out of English. It's kind of a fun little thing. And just make it basically German again. And my favorite part of this is if you remove Latin from it, like it really impacts like professions. Because most of them are like the study of something, which is ology. So geology, if you took out the Latin root, would be stone lore, which is just a great title for a job.
Maybe we should look at doing that, because I do like that.
Anyhow, we don't speak great English anyways. Maybe it is mostly just German we know.
Yeah, maybe. Anyhow, welcome to this episode, which Taylor has already done a good job at welcoming you to. Anyhow, this episode is channeled entities.
Well, Chelsea, didn't we learn that German is the superior language from a channeled entity?
Yeah, we did. Actually, we've already covered some channeled entities, but this is actually just going to be an episode on channeled entities. You're not just going to be getting secondhand information. It's straight up channeled entities. We will not be doing the channeling, just so you know. Rather, I will be conveying the background info on entities that like to be channeled.
Okay.
We may channel on a future episode. We don't know yet. Probably not. Maybe.
I mean, who are we to know? Like, don't these entities gonna have the control here?
Yeah, exactly. We don't know what we're gonna do. So what I'm talking about when I say a channeled entity is a being which is essentially contacting a person, or the person is contacting, I guess. I don't really know that much about channeling, but they're imparting some sort of knowledge, insight, guidance, or something.
Yeah, and I've always been confused too with this, whether or not like they seek out this particular entity in like the ether of wherever it is that they deem they go, or if they get sought out while they're meditating or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it works because I'm not a medium, but I'm assuming that they would be seeking out a like conduit in order to convey a message. Is I think how it would work. I could be wrong though. There may be ones that go out and seek something.
Yeah, and they begrudgingly find somebody who they can channel.
Yeah. This person that is doing the channeling can be a medium. UFO contactees are infamous channelers, just regular person, I guess. And we have covered a few in previous episodes, as Taylor said. What's his face? Who was that guy?
Pata.
The German.
Pata.
Whoever Pata was contacting, I can't remember his name right now. Edgar Casey was a channeler. He wasn't channeling entities, though. I think he was channeling the Akashic Records.
Yeah, and I'm fairly certain an entity came up in the, not Jenga, Ouija episode. I don't think anybody's channeled anybody through a Jenga.
You were so close. I'm pretty sure they're both Hasbro, though.
Yes.
So you were so close. then we move on to the entity. Entity is pretty much always a non-physical entity.
And sorry, Chelsea, just while we're still on this subject, was Corey Good not channeling Raw?
David Wilcock was.
Never mind. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was in the David Wilcock episodes. I should have known.
I'm pretty sure fucking David Wilcock. No. Oh, God. They're all mixed up now.
I'm pretty sure Corey Good was channeling Raw through a Jenga board.
No. Corey Good, I think, was channeling the Blue Avians.
Right. Never mind. Yes.
Was he channeling or was he just in direct contact with them? I can't remember. I don't have any of these notes in front of me. I'm just kind of going by memory here, and obviously it's not that.
This might be a good question as it comes up throughout the episode. Is there really a difference between channeling and communicating with? And I think it will come up as we get going.
What do you mean communicating with?
Well, like you said, Corey Good wasn't channeling.
Talking about it right now. Well, channeling is like you're getting the information from a non-physical entity. I don't know.
In my mind, if you're channeling, you're like the radio. Whereas if you're communicating with, you're the one that's actually going to say the stuff that was said to you. Whereas if you're channeling, you're the radio speaker that's the direct message from whoever's talking.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So there is a difference, yes. So this non-physical entity could be an extraterrestrial, could be a demon, it could be a human, which is like a deceased loved one.
It could be a daemon in the case of, his name?
Funny that you bring him up. And why can't I remember his name right now? Alistair Crowley.
Thank you.
A nature spirit, people channel deceased pets, religious figures and angelic beings, gods or deities, or things of unknown origins, as we'll see. Lots of possibilities of entities to channel. I have chosen a few that spoke to me for today's episode. No pun intended, because I'm not actually channeling today. Leaving this open for a plethora of future scientifically channeled entity episodes. I had to throw scientific in there because I just fucking want to make it sound like it is legit.
Yeah.
And I totally made that up.
Okay.
As you will see, it's foreshadowing for a future episode. Okay.
Now, Chelsea, I do have to ask, just because they are listening intently over here, any popes in this episode?
Not on today's.
Okay.
Other than the ones that we did. Shit, we did just channel dead popes.
No, I don't think we channel them. We communicate with them.
Oh, well, yeah, like...
Like I said, we just discussed this.
They're real people sitting in the room, the dead popes.
And then the other question I guess I have at this point is, as... You know what? It might be better to bring this up at the end.
Today.
It might be at the end is a better time to bring this up.
Why didn't I go second when you're bored?
Well, I want to know if it's pretty common to feel like the entities being channeled are lying about who they are.
Yes.
Okay.
Demons.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyhow, I don't think you know who I have. So first up, we're going to talk about AWOS. An AWOS is a voice only. It was heard very specifically on April 8th, 9th, and 10th, first in 1904, by a certain mountaineer among many downloads, who goes by the name Alistair Crowley.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, seriously, how many mountain climbers has this happened to?
Did you like that I picked mountaineer?
Yes.
Not sure why he made it as a channeled entity when he's very clearly, at this point, a disembodied voice, but here we are doing it on channeled entities, and he made it. Crowley reported that this voice originated with a non-corporeal being, dictated a text known as the Book of the Law, or Liberal Vel Legis, to him during his honeymoon in Cairo. AWOS is of unknown origin and becomes Crowley's mentor. I don't know, it's all very weird. It doesn't get any less weird, so let's just, like, hang in there.
Yeah, it's Crowley. Let's just get to the sex stuff now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's any sex stuff in here.
Huh.
You're gonna have to just, like, pause it and think of it up yourself and then just hit play again. Crowley described the encounter in detail in his 1936 book, The Equinox of the Gods, saying, "The voice of AWOS came apparently from over my left shoulder from the furthest corner of the room. Quote, it seemed to echo itself in the physical heart in a very strange manner, hard to describe. I've noticed a similar phenomenon when I have been waiting for a message fraught with great hope or dread. The voice was passionately poured, as if AWOS were alert about the time limit. The 3 days, that is. The voice was of deep timbre, musical and expressive. Its tones solemn, voluptuous, tender, fierce, or aught else as suited the moods of the message.
Okay, Chelsea.
Not bass.
I can
perhaps a rich tenor or baritone.
Okay, those words do not go together in any way.
You think he just described your voice?
Okay. Is this just going to be broadcast back to this point in time right now? And I only got 3 days, Chelsea. I got to think of what I need to do here.
Okay, well, the card.
Okay.
Use your time wisely. So far, you've told us about the turbulence threat.
But, yeah, and I always give them 48 hours.
Oh, shit, that was 3 days ago.
Yeah. I always feel like that's too much stress on our listeners, but they need it. They need it to thrive. And now I'm on the 72-hour one. That's no good. I'll crack.
A lot of pressure, I'm going to be honest. The English was free of either native or foreign accent, perfectly pure of local or caste mannerisms, startling and even uncanny at first hearing. I had a strong impression that the speaker was actually in the corner where he seemed to be, in a body of fine matter, transparent as a veil of gauze or a cloud of incense smoke. He seemed to be a tall, dark man in his 30s, well-knit, active and strong, with the face of a savage king, and eyes veiled lest their gaze should destroy what they saw. The dress was not Arab. I suggest Assyria or Persia, but very vaguely. I took little note of it, for to me at that time, AWOS was an angel, such as I had often seen in visions, of being purely astral, end quote. I really thought this was a disembodied voice, but he clearly saw something?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
That's not channeling, so boy, did I fuck up.
Also, Chelsea, just so you are aware, the word is pronounced Arab, not Arab, but I don't want you to go back and fix that, because that's great.
Okay, thank you. Crowley went to great pains to argue that AWOS was an objectively separate being from himself. Love that he went to so much pain about that.
That's
possessing far more...
That's like a Bruce Wayne thing to do right there.
No kidding. Possessing far more knowledge than he or any other human being could possibly have. He wrote, "No forager could have prepared so complex a set of numerical and literal puzzles." As Crowley writes in his Confessions, quote, "I was bound to admit that AWOS has shown a knowledge of the Kabbalah immeasurably superior to my own, and we are forced to conclude that the author of the Book of the Law is an intelligence both alien and superior to myself, yet acquainted with my inmost secrets, and most important of all, that his intelligence is discernate," end quote. I don't know if I started a quote, but there's an end quote right there. However, Crowley also spoke of AWOS in symbolic terms. "And the law is for all," he goes on at length in comparison to various other deities and spiritual concepts, but most specifically to the fool. For example, he writes of AWOS, quote, "In his absolute innocence and ignorance, he is the fool. He is the savior, being the son who shall trample on the crocodiles and tigers and avenge his father Osiris. Thus, we see him as the great fool of Celtic legend, the pure fool of Act 1 of Parsifal, and generally speaking, the insane person whose words have always been taken for oracles," end quote. Perhaps more importantly, Crowley later identified AWOS as his own personal holy guardian angel and more. Again, from the Equinox of the Gods, quote, "I now incline to believe that AWOS is not only the god once held holy in summer and mine own guardian angel, but also a man as I am, insofar as he uses a human body to make his magical link with mankind whom he loves, and that he is thus an epistemus, head of the AA," end quote.
Was he going through alcohol? Was he going to sobriety?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
Not sure what that refers to.
Yeah. But I get where the channeling is. Even though we saw that person, technically the books were channeled. That first interaction wasn't channeled. it was just their meeting. So that, I guess Crowley was
Did you get that one. From it? Because to me, he was describing what the voice, like, he envisioned from the voice.
It's hard to say. That's what I thought at first, but then he very clearly said the entity he saw.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know. It's weird. I guess it's all up for interpretation because you probably made it up.
Yeah. But yeah, he says that the books were written by other entities who he channeled. Like, he was very clearly seeing that whoever wrote this is smarter than him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I stand by my word of this is a channeled entity because it made it into the channeled entities episode. So, yeah,
some good logic there. Not circular, yeah. Square.
That proves it. Yet, even while eventually identifying Awas as a holy guardian angel, Crowley still went to even greater lengths in his later years to insist that Awas was an objective entity apart from himself. Again, even going as far as to declare in no uncertain terms that the holy guardian angel is not only entirely objective, but is also not to be confused with the, quote, higher self, end quote, as in his final work, Magic Without Tears. Why is that his final work? Does he typically cry while doing magic?
He couldn't cry anymore. Too old.
Yes. All out of tears, he cried them all. Quote, the holy guardian angel is not the higher self, but an objective individual. Yes. He is not, let me say with emphasis, a mere abstraction from yourself. That is why I have insisted rather heavily that the term higher self implies a damnable heresy and a dangerous delusion. If it were not so, there would be no point in the sacred magic of Abramelin the Mage. End quote. I hope I put enough good emphasis on that that would make Aleister Crowley happy. In magic and theory and practice, Awas is firmly identified by Crowley as the devil, Satan, and Lucifer, whose emblem is Baphomet. This assertion is made while Crowley is discussing the devil. After explaining that the devil does not exist, he goes on to clarify his statements by explaining that the devil is in reality a label for the god of any people that one dislikes, and this fact has led to so much confusion of thought on the subject that Crowley prefers to let names stand as they are, and to proclaim simply that Awas, the solar phallic hermetic Lucifer, is his own holy guardian angel and the devil Satan or Hadit, the supreme soul behind Ra-Hur-Kuit, the sun, the lord of our particular unit of the starry universe. This serpent Satan is not the enemy of man, but he who made gods of our race, knowing good and evil. He bade know thyself and taught intuition. He is the devil of the Book of Thoth, and his emblem is Baphomet, the androgene, who is the hieroglyph and arcane perfection. This is a lot of Aleister Crowley shit, my god.
Yeah, he has that very particular way of writing.
Okay, so listen to this. A number of authors have expressed the view that Awas was most likely an unconscious manifestation of Crowley's personality. Occultist Israel Regardi argued for this view in his Crowley biography, The Eye and the Triangle, and considered that the Book of the Law was a colossal wish fulfillment on Crowley's part. Regardi noted that in 1906, Crowley wrote, quote, it has struck me in connection with reading Blake the Awas, etc. Force and fire is the very thing I lack. My conscience is really an obstacle and a delusion, being a survival heredity and education. Being a survival of heredity and education, end quote. Regardi argued that because Crowley felt that his fundamentalist upbringing instilled him in an overly rigid conscience, when he rebelled against Christianity, quote, he must have yearned for qualities and characteristics diametrically opposed to his own. In the Book of the Law, the wishes fulfilled, end quote. Charles R. Camel, author of Aleister Crowley, The Man and the Mage, the poet, wrote that the Book of the Law was, quote, in part, but in part only, an emanation from Crowley's unconscious mind, I can believe, for it bears a likeness to his own demonic personality. Demonic, end quote. Writer Israel Regardi and academic Joshua Gunn have argued that the stylistic similarities between the Book of the Law and Crowley's other writings are evidence that Crowley, rather than a discarnate entity, was the sole source of the book.
Yeah.
And
just like I said,
no one else channels Awas. Okay. Yeah. He still made it in because he's Aleister Crowley and technically he's a channeled entity, Awas.
Well, he claims it was channeled, so...
Yeah, so next in line, we got Zozo.
Ah, yes. the Ouija board guy.
Yeah. Also foreshadowed earlier in this episode with the Jenga reference.
The blocks are all coming together now. Yeah. As they tumble down.
Zozo is a mysterious trickster entity known for stalking people through Ouija boards. Those who claim they've made contact with Zozo say he often shows himself by guiding the planchette into figure eight formations before frantically zooming back and forth between the Z and the O. His interactions start out friendly, grow malicious. While he's often wrangled by a Ouija board, some believe that saying his name out loud can also summon Zozo from the depths of hell. Stay the fuck away from me, Zozo. Zozo can also go by Zaza, Mama, Oz, Zo, Za, and Abacus.
I was just going to say, are they all just two repeat letters? But that last one is not.
Yeah, no, it's really out of left field. Not sure why it's related.
I'm wondering if he's called Abacus when he just scrolls through the numbers. Because maybe. Like an abacus is like a rudimentary calculator.
Oh, maybe. Maybe when he's doing math.
Because like if he's repeating between two different things, like that's pretty much everything else. And then abacus, maybe he just does the numbers back and forth. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that with the planchette.
Because I don't think he's spelling abacus. That sounds like it's out of left field for that one.
But who would know that? I know, I certainly wouldn't. Maybe some people. This entity has gained notoriety for supposedly causing psychological distress and bad luck to those who encounter it during such sessions. Zozo believers claim the demon has ancient origins, either African or Sumerian, depending who you ask. While those claims can't be substantiated, they may be confusing Zozo for Pazuzu, a Mesopotamian wind demon who famously appeared in The Exorcist. A supernatural entity called Zozo was referenced in the 1818 French text Le Dictionnaire Infernal, a demological encyclopedia written by French author Jacques-Auguste Simon-Colin de Plancy. That can't be one name. Recounts the story of young village girl who claimed she'd been possessed by three demons named Mimi, Zozo, and Crapulet. Crapulet. I don't know.
Why is it always ending with these ones?
He is rumored to have been the demon who possessed Roland Doe, aka Ronald. Zozo and the possession were written about in a book called The Exorcist under the name Pazuzu, which in turn inspired the modern version of Pazuzu, who comes from Babylonian culture. I don't know, I never heard of Pazuzu. Encounters with Zozo. Zozo is often said to mimic the voices of the dead, who the user of the Ouija board wishes to talk to. He is a cruel, sadistic demon who likes preying on people's insecurities and fears. He often delights in telling them they will die soon and is often brutally misogynistic. Wow. He loves to pretend he is other spirits, oftentimes pretending he is three different spirits at once. And I'd just like to interject my own thoughts right here, because in the channeling, I actually didn't put like using some apparatus to channel like a Ouija board. You don't have to be a medium to do that or a contactee. I guess at that point you are a contactee if you use a Ouija board and an entity like this comes through. He can play on psychics, for instance. If a psychic is adamant that there are only two ghosts in the building, Zozo will confuse them by claiming there are nine ghosts instead. He will also add confusing scenarios by stating he's a little boy ghost and that he is afraid of malevolent spirit haunting the place.
Question for you, Chelsea. When he says he's a little boy ghost, do we mean like he died as a little boy and he's a ghost that way? Or he's just been a ghost for a little while, so he's like a little boy ghost?
Could be both. Okay. Depends on the person who is receiving the news, I guess, and whatever they think. That's a point. Would you call yourself a little boy ghost if you were just a new ghost? Or would you call yourself a new ghost?
That might be the easiest way to convey it for a Ouija board. Or specifically if you've been channeled through a Jenga board. I don't know how else to say it, really. Can a Jenga board convey anything else other than little boy ghost? I don't think so.
I've only ever heard the Jenga board say little boy ghost. It doesn't have a whole lot to say other than that. Zozo loves watching his victims squirm with confusion, and oftentimes he takes pleasure when one gullible human believes his lies.
Chelsea.
Zozo is very sadistic.
Have you ever squirmed from confusion?
Little. It's uncomfortable if I'm too confused.
Okay. I'm just trying to picture what that looks like. Like, does he, like, ask them what is the sound of one hand clapping, and they sit there for a second and then just start, like, wiggling?
No, like, you know the face if someone's confused. I think
that's not a squirm. A squirm is a full body process. A squirm.
It could be if you're confused enough. I've seen some pretty confused faces.
Okay.
Sozo is very sadistic and loves watching friends fall out over his lies. He is a master deceiver, which is not surprising as the devil is claimed to be the father of all lies. And Zozo is a powerful devil in hell.
I thought he was a little boy ghost.
Yeah, but also a powerful devil in hell. So, possible encounters with Zozo include 1951. Roland Doe was a boy who got possessed by Zozo. After using a Ouija board, he was eventually exorcised after a violent process by priests. If you don't know who Roland Doe is, we've done a whole episode on him. Really good episode. I kept in and out referring to him as Ronald.
You did.
This is Roland. It's a really good episode. Roland Doe is who The Exorcist is based on. What's her name in The Exorcist? Reagan. That's actually Roland, and he's a boy. I think it happened in Chicago.
Was it just because Reagan is...
St. Louis or something.
Reagan is harder to not mispronounce. That's probably why they did it.
True. You don't get confused between Ronald and Roland at all with Reagan.
There's no Reynag, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. You can't confuse up other letters to make it a new name. Well, Ronald isn't a new name. It's just a different name. That's not Roland. In 1972, in Los Angeles, a mother named Doris Blither used a Ouija board and found herself haunted by a dark entity which sought her and her family harm. Very vague. 1977 and 1979, Enfield Poltergeist in Enfield, England, where a family got plagued by a malevolent force. No more on that one. May or may not be Zozo. Well, I cannot be sure. 2012, Tombstone, Nevada. A small group of soldiers were off duty and decided to mess about with a Ouija board just for fun. They made contact with an alleged spirit who told them that he had died in Tombstone. On the way back, one of the men got possessed and almost killed the others in a car crash before the demon left him and regained consciousness. Him or the demon? Hard to say.
Good question.
In 2019, YouTuber Kyle Godfrey attempted to contact Zozo at 3 a.m. on his Ouija board. Bad idea, Kyle. And made contact with an entity who said it was Zozo. Probably wasn't Zozo if it was straight up telling you. However, Kyle took it further and asked the spirit if there is a specific phone number for Zozo. The entity gave him a number, 417-666-6666. And when the number was called, the lights went out in his room during the phone call, and poltergeist activity followed. When Kyle ended the call, the lights came back on. I find it suspicious that the phone number is there if it's that dangerous.
Yeah, but to be fair, Chelsea, do you want to know the creepiest part of this? That area code is assigned to Missouri.
Hell is in Missouri.
I mean, that's where Sozo lives, apparently. It checks out.
It does. Zozo lives in Missouri. Now I got some Reddit stories. User Puzzle-Headed Wolf 11. Me and my best friend spent the entire summer talking with a spirit with a different name, making friends with her. Then one day it started going crazy and spelling Zeto, 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 Zeto. And it started getting nastier and scary. I googled the name and the original blog post is mainly all that came up. And this was years before the movie. Apparently there's a movie. So from my experience, it's not a phenomenon. I think to those that didn't experience it, it's like a Bloody Mary for people. As for me, as someone who googled because it came through my board, then never let anything come through besides it to talk again. It's very much real. Gotta love those Reddit punctuations. Oh, I like this username. User Dad's Nut Milk One. I don't know. That it's a little disturbing, but I giggled at it. One time I was playing with my Ouija board with my friend. I'll call her R for the sake of her privacy. Me and R were in my basement. I wonder if it was Reagan. See? Look at that. I can remember that name. No squirming with confusion. And she wanted me to show her how to use a Ouija board. We were asking basic questions like, how old are you? And what's your name? And the board was answering without problems. Eventually, the board spelled out Zeto Zeto. And we hadn't even asked it a question. It just did. So we were now supposedly talking to Zozo, the infamous Ouija board demon. I explained to R who Zozo was and we continued talking to him. And I was kind of an idiot and I decided I would attempt to aggravate Zozo by basically telling him he was not powerful and he didn't scare me.
Oh, good. That's a wise choice, Dad's nut milk.
Yep. He claimed he couldn't sew scary shit because he had a broken leg. So I accused him of lying.
Zozo
said he had a broken leg.
He's just a little boy ghost. Give him a break.
After about half an hour of me being really stupid, Reagan asked the board, "What do you want from us?" This is when shit got creepy. It immediately spelled out die, D-I-E, and simultaneously my nose started to bleed. I ran upstairs to tell my mother what happened, and she said it was probably a coincidence. To this, I can just see the mom like laying on the couch half asleep being like, shut up.
It's had this happened in modern time, there is a phone in front of her face and she's scrolling Reddit.
Yeah, this date. That board doesn't work, and when I try to use it, it only moves in a figure eight around the letters. I had to purchase a new board, and I've learned my lesson about egging on demons. So, I guess I had to get to the end of the episode to tell you this, but I picked two entities for this episode. So that's the end of the episode.
Well, that would be the biggest surprise of this episode, in fact.
That's the end.
So, Chelsea, I'm curious what your opinion is on this. Zozo's a channeled entity. Is the person channeling him or is the board channeling him?
Well, the Ouija board is like a conduit.
So it's the channeling point.
Yes, I would say.
Unless it's channeling through a person who's pushing the planchette.
Well, it all depends on the technicalities of how you think a Ouija board works.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, either one is possible. It's a good point.
And I like Zozo. He's got character.
I don't think we covered that in the Ouija board.
Broken leg. He's just a little really kid does. Ghost in Missouri.
Bad for that bro.
This is a good backstory.
We learned a lot about him. So we could have probably had some much more technically channeled entities, but these are the outliers of channeled entities. One was A Disembodied Voice by Aleister Crowley. He probably didn't actually channel shit. And Zozo, who is just like a bad entity that you could encounter using the Ouija board, which is technically channeling.
Yeah, I think it's just a question of what...
Probably not what you're expecting coming here
today.
Yeah,
and I guess the real question is what is channeling it, the entity? Like I said, it's either the board or a person.
I think it's being channeled. Technically, it's a channel.
Either way, it's being channeled. It's just a question of through what.
It's just way around.
And what was I going to say? And in Crowley's defense, he was alive in the early 1900s where we had a ton of drugs and not much understanding of what they were going to do to your body. And he was a taking them, like just all of them. And climbing mountains, too.
He sure was. We have an episode on that. Yeah, he's a famous mountaineer.
Still holds records or something. I can't quite remember. Okay. Well, Chelsea, thank you for that.
For now.
Yeah. And with that, I have been Taylor here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.